Welcome to Sabbath School, brought to you by It Is Written. I'm Eric Flickinger, and we are going through the book of Deuteronomy, looking for present truth. My guest this week is the author of this quarter's Sabbath School lesson, the Adult Bible Study Guide, Clifford Goldstein. He is also the editor of the Adult Bible Study Guide. Cliff, welcome. Good to have you with us again.
Glad to be back.
All right, now you start this lesson. This is lesson 8. It's called Choose Life, and you tell a fascinating story. What is that story?
Well, I read it. I've actually read a couple like this, but there was this young girl. I think we call her Sandy. I don't remember the name. I read the story in the New York Times, and tragically, it's tragic. She's diagnosed with a brain tumor, and it's like, it's going to kill her. You know, there's just nothing they could do. And she gets one of these GoFundMe things, and they plan at the moment she dies, they chop off her head, and they put her head in a vat of liquid nitrogen. They call this cryonics or cryogenics, I forgot. They put her head in a vat of liquid nitrogen and try to freeze it. You know, I think I forgot what it was. It's just a few degrees above absolute zero. And they do it with the idea that, you know, there's some of these theories that our brains are computers or like computers, which I think is idiotic. It's a very loose analogy. But anyway, the idea is she gets her brain frozen. And then in 50, 100 years, 200, whatever, technology allows them to thaw her brain, and they map her neural connections and upload the neural connections to a computer, and she continues her existence. And it's like, wow, how, you know, I think it says, like, you know, as human beings, we were never meant to die. We sometimes hear people say, oh, death is part of life. Death is the opposite of life. It's the negation of life. And I think our aversion to death goes back to Eden. We were originally created to have eternal life. Sin came, we fell, and then we die. And this story, I think, represents the desperation that people have to have life. And in many ways, the gospel story is God is offering us the eternal life that we were originally supposed to have that was lost in Eden because of sin. So anyway, that's the story I used to bring in this question of choose life, which does come from the book of Deuteronomy.
You know, Cliff, you mentioned that verse. It's probably worth our while to read it. It's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 19. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. He says, I want you to choose life. But as you referenced just a few moments ago, back in the creation account, you know, when God created mankind, when he created humanity, when he created Adam and Eve, some people say, well, he didn't give us a choice. He just sort of created us, and we didn't get to choose whether or not we got to be created. In fact, a lot of people today who are kind of depressed and discouraged with life claim that God was unfair for bringing them into existence to begin with. But we look at the creation account, it gives us a picture of God who's a God of love, doesn't it?
Well, you know, in a sense, the people who claim that, I mean, look, Eric, did you choose to be born?
Nope, didn't choose it.
I didn't choose to be born. I mean, I woke up one day, I'm just here, you know, and it's really weird how that happens. You know, when do we as kids get to self-awareness or whatever? That's just one of the mysteries of consciousness. I didn't choose to be here. Okay, I didn't ask to be born. in a sense, life was foisted on me. It was foisted on me. I think we talk about that in the lesson. Without my choice, without my acknowledgement, anything. I didn't ask to be here. And I think God understands that. And basically, I think the whole plan of salvation is, all right, look, you didn't choose to be here. You were originally created to have eternal life. Here it is, I think, in a nutshell, and I think this is what the lesson deals with. You didn't ask to be here. You were brought here, and you were originally brought here to have eternal life, okay? Adam and Eve blew it in Eden. That's what we've got on Sunday's lesson, the tree of life, the choice, and so forth. They made, God presented them. You know, if you eat from the tree, you will die. So really, in Eden, there was the choice of life and death. And in a sense now, every human being, basically God says, look, I can say God says, I'm not saying what God says, but I'm paraphrasing how I understand it. All right, true, you didn't ask to be born, and you sure didn't ask to be born in a fallen, sinful world, but tough luck, Charlie, you were, okay? Now, what God says is, all right, look, I died for you. I'm offering you the chance, the choice to have the eternal life in a sinless world, in a world without sin, suffering, death. I'm offering you what I originally wanted every human being to have to begin with. Or if you don't want that, I'm offering you, you go back to the absolute nothingness out of which you came from. Because we are, I forgot the word, what I am. It's, annihilationists. Yeah, I'm an annihilationist. I do not believe in eternal, you know, think about eternal torment for a minute. I mean, it's just, it's sick. You didn't ask to be born, and it gets even worse to get that, put it in the hands of the Calvinists. You know, you're not asked to be born, then God predestines you in eternity past to be lost, and through no choice of your own, God burns you in hell for all eternity. But even putting aside that lousy theology, you didn't ask to be born, you didn't want to be here. God says, fine, good, I'm going to torture you for all eternity. It's pretty sick stuff. Instead, I believe God says, all right, look, you came out of nothingness. I'm offering you eternal life. Choose life. Okay, I'm offering you the eternal life that I originally wanted you to have. If you don't want it, you don't want to choose it, then you, in the end, you either choose life or you choose death. There's no middle ground. And through Jesus, we all have the opportunity for life, or we go back to the eternal oblivion from which we came. Seems pretty clear. Pretty binary choice, I'd say.
Yeah, and you hit that nicely on Monday. It's entitled No Middle Ground. There's no choice, no riding the fence, as it were. You're either saved or you're lost. And the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, makes that very, very plain. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So those are the two options. It's either perish, as you mentioned, nothingness, ultimately. You know, there is, the Bible teaches about hellfire, speaks very plainly about hellfire. It does burn, but it reduces the wicked to ashes and dust, and never shall they be anymore. Or there's eternal life. So Jesus himself says perish or everlasting life, one or the other. One is continual communion with your creator, and the other is nothingness. It seems like a pretty simple choice, really, for somebody who analyzes it about that much.
Yeah, I know, and then yet, why do people... I guess once you have it placed before you like that and you understand it, it's hard to imagine why anybody wouldn't. And yet, there is a devil out there, and he does try to deceive us, and We are in the midst of a great controversy, but in the end, I, you know, what did Jesus say? If the Father gives me someone, I will not let anyone snatch him out of my hands. And I don't believe that teaches once saved, always saved. I believe it teaches once we accept Jesus and we cling to him. It was like what we did a few weeks earlier in Deuteronomy 4. You who did cleave to the Lord your God are alive today. There were some who were destroyed at Baal Peor, and the others are alive today. And see, ultimately, we face either eternal life or eternal destruction. And when you think about all the choices that people have in life, you know, there was a French theologian, philosopher, lived in the 17th century named Blaise Pascal. And I think most people have heard of him, and he made one of the first computers. In fact, years ago, they had a computer program named Pascal based on him. And it was interesting. He was a child prodigy, math prodigy and so forth. And then he had some kind of conversion experience. He called it La Nuit de Feu, his night of fire. And he had this conversion experience, and he ended up jotting down his thoughts in like a book, just jotted down his thoughts, and he never published it in a book. They were just found when he died. They were found stuffed in his coat pocket, these random thoughts. In the French, they call it pensées, thoughts. And they got these little aphorisms in there, and some of them are beautiful. And he talks about one point about, he says, look, whatever you think the future holds, regardless, there is an eternity awaiting us, okay? There is, you know, an eternity ahead. And for the little bit of time you got here, he says, it seems the most logical, rational thing for somebody to do is, because whatever that eternity is going to be, it's going to be a whole lot longer than what we got here. So he said the logical, rational thing to do is to find out what it is and what's going to happen and how, what's it going to be like and what you can do to determine how you're going to spend it. And he expressed it so logically and so rationally. And then yet he talks, people are more concerned about what they wear and what they dress, you know, how they dress and where they're going to eat and how. Anyway, it's very sobering. But in Scripture, yeah, you choose life or you choose death. There's an eternity ahead of us. Something is going to be out there. And as Pascal said, it sure makes a whole lot of sense to find out what it is. And if you can make some choices now to ensure that eternity is going to be good, it's the height of folly to do anything else but try to find out what that is.
Absolutely right. And the book of Deuteronomy helps us to see that there is a heaven to win and a hell to shun. There's a choice that we all need to make. We're going to be back in just a moment, but I want to remind you, if you haven't checked it out already, make sure you head over to itiswritten.shop and pick up a copy of the companion book to this quarter's study on the book of Deuteronomy. It's called Deuteronomy, the Book of Love. You will be blessed by it. We're going to be back in just a moment as we look at the importance of choosing life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Wes Youngberg, and I've just written a book called Memory Makeover, How to Prevent Alzheimer's and Reverse Cognitive Decline. This book is in story form. It's case studies of individuals that I've worked with and my colleagues have worked with where they've actually been able to stop cognitive decline, and 80% of the time have been able to reverse aspects of cognitive decline. If you want to know more about that, get the book, Memory Makeover.
Welcome back to Sabbath School, brought to you by It Is Written. I'm here with Cliff Goldstein once again, and we're looking at the book of Deuteronomy and how it applies to us today. And we're looking today, this week, at choosing life. We're going to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 30 now. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and starting in verse number 15, there's a passage here from verse 15 through verse 20 that draws this choice out very, very plainly. Let's look at Deuteronomy 30, starting in verse number 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. So here in verse 15, Cliff, he says, I set before you life and good, death and evil. It sounds like he's drawing some parallels there.
Yeah, see, you know, it's interesting too. I never thought of this before. I set before you, you know, Hayim, Hachayim, life, v'et hatov, life and goodness. So life is good. It's acquainted with goodness. V'et hamavet, and death and hara, evil. And it's interesting, in Genesis, it's the tree of the knowledge of tov v'ra. The same word here, good and evil. And life is equated with good and evil with death. And I think that's very interesting too, because unfortunately, so much of the world, or enough of the world, has bought into the great creation myth of our times, which is evolution. And it's one thing the secular world has bought into it, but it's tragic how many Christians have bought into it. In other words, death, because evolution is all about death. The strong kill the, you know, the weak, and the strong survive, and the only reason we're here is all these others. Versions of us died, and so on and so forth. And yet, so in many ways, if you think it's good that we're here, death is good. In fact, if you're a theistic evolutionist and you believe God used, I don't know how anybody could, but apparently some do, God used evolution, then death can't be bad. Death is God's chosen mean of creating life, of bringing us here. And yet, in this text, life is equated with hatov, the good, and death, mavet, is with evil. And so ultimately, in the end, life is good, death is evil. And so we're asking too, to choose, not just between life and death, but to choose between good and evil. And I don't know about you, but I sure, you know, sometimes I relate very much to the man of Romans 7. I want to do good, but I don't do good. I don't want to do evil, and I do evil. But anyway, that's a separate issue. But not just choosing life over death, we choose good over evil. And that's a powerful thought. And then he says in verse 16, which today I command you. So notice, he links it then, and I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, and you will be long, and you will be multiply, and the Lord God will bless you in the land which you are going there to possess. And so, in other words, it's all linked. It's all linked to obedience to him. You choose life, and we manifest that choice by obeying him.
So choosing life, good, it says here, keeping his commandments, keeping his statutes, his judgments, and the Lord is going to bless us as a result. Then he continues this same thought in the next few verses. Verse 17, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, there's that disobedience, we're going away from God and serving other gods. I announce to you today that you shall surely perish.
Wow, yeah.
You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. So he says, you can choose. You've got the ability. He's giving us the choice, but he says, here's the results. Yeah. Either you have life and good, commandments, statutes, judgments, so forth, or you have death and evil, and you're not going to get the blessings. You're not going to inherit this land that he promised to us.
You will perish.
And you'll perish, yeah.
In fact, it's interesting. I think we brought this out once time before. It's translated, you will surely perish. Well, the Hebrew here, and that word is surely perishes. The word surely is not there. And what you have is you have the word avad, to perish. And it occurs in two different verb forms. It goes avod tovedon. And it's basically, it's using the word perish in two different verb forms, but to emphasize the certainty of it. You will surely perish, as in be destroyed. And I think of John 3:16, for we mentioned, whoever, you know, has eternal life shall not perish. Of course, that's the Greek New Testament. But again, you've got the thing. Life, obedience, faith, goodness, or you perish. There's no middle ground. And I guess for us as believers, in the end, you know, what did Jesus say? One of these hard, you're either with me or you're against me. And, you know, all through the Bible, it's like, well, again, it's going to come back to what we said at the beginning. We either have the eternal life that God originally wanted for us, but we lost through sin, or we go into absolute oblivion. And, well, absolute oblivion is oblivion. So, but, and again, it's, here's the thing to notice. Notice it's all the way through the Bible. Notice the reality of free choice here. I call upon you today that I have, look at verse 19. You know, verse 19, I have witnessed before you today, before heavens and the earth, life and death I set lefaneka before you, blessings and cursings. So there's life is good and it's blessings. Death is evil and it's cursing. I set before you, okay? And then what does he say? He says, uvaharta. You choose, you know, choose life in order that you and your seed will live. In other words, the people have to choose it. And I, that's why I cannot for the life of me understand this predestination where God predestines some to be saved and some to be lost. These texts make no sense. They make no sense. God is pleading with them. You choose life in order that you may live and your family may live. It reminds me of Jesus standing before Jerusalem that time. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you under your wings. It's like, it's so obvious that he wanted them to do it, but you would not. And I see here, you know, here he's pleading with them to do it. And then later on, when you read in the book, it's kind of interesting. Moses says, look, I know you're going to disobey. I know you're going to do it, disobey anyway. And whew, how we should try to learn from what we see written here.
Absolutely right. And in this very same chapter, God doesn't just say, look, do good and right and life or evil and death. He says, here are the many benefits of making the right choice. Verses 1 through 10 of chapter 30.
Sure.
We won't read them all, but God says, if you do the right thing, if you return to me, verse 2, return to the Lord your God, obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart, with all your soul. This is that no middle ground concept again. He says that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity. He'll have compassion on you. He'll gather you again from all the nations where you were scattered. If you're driven out to the farthest parts under heaven from the Lord, will gather you from here. The Lord will bring you to a land which your fathers possessed. He says you're going to have so many blessings. Like if you had a scale, if you had a balance here, God is saying everything is in your favor if you will make the right decision. But that right decision only comes as we realize what Jesus has done for us, the price that God has paid for us, then we can say, wow, that's a God of love who gave up heaven's courts to come down here and live on this sin-cursed earth to give us the hope of eternal life. What incredible blessings. Talk about that for just a short bit here, Cliff.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We come back again. Let's come back because it's the same thing. He's choosing this. Go to verse 20. You will love the Lord your God to listen to his voice. And then it uses this word, uledovkavo, and that you would cling to him. And this is what we saw earlier in Baal Peor. It said, you who did cling, cleave to the Lord your God. In other words, God's calling them to do all these things and to have these blessings. And he knows human weakness. He knows in and of ourselves we're not going to do it. But here's the key, that you may cling, uledovkavo, that you cling to the Lord your God. For he is your life and your length of days, so that you dwell on the land which the Lord God swore to your fathers. In other words, you have to make the choice. You choose God, and then you dabak, you cling to God. And how, in many ways here, you know, what is the New Testament, what is the text which says, as ye have so found the Lord Jesus Christ, walk ye therefore therein. Something like that. You found the Lord by a surrender to him, a death to self, a choice for him. And then you keep doing that. You keep having that death to self. You keep making that choice, you know, and you cling to him. And the same God who promised Israel, you cling to me, I'll take care of you. I'm your life, is the same God who 3,000 years later is speaking to his people, his church today as well. Cling to him and you have life in him.
That's the message from God through the book of Deuteronomy to you and to me today. He wants us to cling to him, to grab a hold of him, just like Jacob grabbed a hold of that unseen antagonist many years ago. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jesus wants to bless you, and we pray that you will join us again next week as we continue our journey through the book of Deuteronomy, looking at present truth. You will be blessed. God bless you. We'll see you then.